WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. It is Money Monday. We have joining us now Manny the Money Man Resendiz from Euclid Financial Services. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. Pleasure to be here.
Always great to have you.
Same here.
And I wish I could say, you know, less turmoil in the world since the last time you were here last month, but it doesn't seem like things have gotten any. It's a different turmoil.
Oh, definitely.
Each time you come in, but it's still turmoil.
Well, it keeps me on my toes. I mean, we can't fall asleep at the wheel here. We have to have something exciting going on.
So what are the day-to-day conversations like in the office? Like, do you see things that are going on in the news and try to prepare the team to say, you know, this is how this relates to this? Or does everybody kind of just intrinsically know based on their experience?
So there's a lot of information that flows through the office, whether it's myself doing research or other members. And we try to share the information openly so that when we go into a client meeting, we have an idea of what's going on out there, what's being said, so that we can start to say, hey, this is how it actually affects you. And yes, you should be worried about it, or no, you shouldn't be. And we find that that comes up pretty often, especially when people are getting closer to retirement, because there's enough anxiety as there is. And then you throw in things like big fluctuations in the stock market, major changes in political climate. And then everybody just starts to go, oh my God, am I doing the right decision?
And I guess part of that is, you know, it's just a reaction that whenever there's uncertainty, you know, you don't want to be taking risks. And so the idea is if you're doing this the right way, planning for retirement, it's not a risk. People look at this as like, well, I'm taking money and putting it somewhere that I'm not sure what's going to happen with it. But there's sound strategy involved in what it is that you do.
Exactly. What you're kind of touching on is when I have someone sitting in the client in the conference room with us, and whether it's the first time they're meeting us or they've been with us for a while, there's always this question of, is this the right time to retire? Should I be doing this right now? And outside of the personal choice of I'm ready, you know, I'm tired of being at work. If I hear one more boss change and tell me I'm doing my job wrong that I've been doing for 30 years, I'm walking out the door. Once you've kind of walked through all of that, the idea of retiring, whatever's going on in the outside world, the stock market up or down, political turmoil, if you've taken the time to prepare your plan, know how it's going to work, and understand how you're going to replace your paycheck and what retirement's going to look like, there really isn't a wrong time to retire. Now, if you haven't done any of the planning, that's a completely different conversation. But again, just like in life, you make decisions because you've been prepared for it and you know what you should expect. When the unknown gets thrown at you, we have to take a moment to reflect and go, all right, do we have all the pieces in place to understand it? And if the world gets in the way, how do we adjust for it? And that's where the planning process comes in.
Well, and by the same token, you probably have some people who are not, you know, not ready to retire. They're just starting to start planning, you know, younger people who are starting to, and they might be looking at the climate of the world and saying, maybe we should wait a couple of years before we start worrying about this. But I would guess you would suggest that it's not a good thing to put it off.
Definitely not. The best thing would be to start as soon as possible. Yesterday would have been a whole lot better, but today or tomorrow is just as good. And so whatever you do, don't delay it, because the longer you delay making a change or looking at what you have to adjust, the harder it's going to be later. The one thing we can never get back is time. And so the sooner you can start it, the more time you have to adjust, to grow, to plan, to change, so that when the day does come where you have to retire and you have to use the things that you've put in place, you can now be able to adjust for it because you've had more time to plan for it, to adjust for it, to troubleshoot it, whatever term you want to use.
And I would guess too that, you know, the things that are going on in the world shouldn't be the reason why you retire or don't retire. It should just be one of those many factors that comes into play along that journey, the same way there's many other factors that would come into play.
Generally speaking, when someone's ready to retire, just from personal experience and from the stories we've heard, it's never one big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a lot of little things that build up to a point where you finally just say, I don't want to do this anymore. I've had enough. It's not fulfilling. It's not the same company I used to work for. If I have to answer to another 28-year-old kid who doesn't know what I know, I'm going to lose my mind, right? These are the conversations that we're hearing. And so I agree with you. That's generally how people get to the point of, yep, I'm ready to retire. It's no longer fulfilling. Let me move on. And what we found is that if you start to do the planning process anywhere from 2 to 5 years before you think you're going to retire, you generally put yourself in a really good position so that when you are ready to walk out the door for the last time, you have all the pieces in place. It's just a matter of turning on the machine and letting it work for you.
Now, and I'm sure a lot of folks listening, they work for employers that provide them with, you know, the option to sign up for 401ks, or maybe they have a pension or things like that. But there's also a lot of people that listen who are their own companies. They own their own businesses. They work for themselves. And I'm sure there's different challenges involved with somebody who needs to make a retirement plan who is self-employed.
There are some different challenges just because everything falls on you. It's not a matter of, is there an HR department to say these are the things that you have available through the company as a benefit. And so the challenges are a little bit different. But at the end of the day, whether you are self-employed or working for a major company or a small company, there are some basic fundamental things that have to be in your retirement plan in order for it to work, in order for it to be a good retirement. And we found that there are four basic items that we try to make sure are in every plan. Do you have your income set? Do you know what your medical coverage is going to look like? How are you going to cover taxes? And then what does legacy look like? And each one of them is a very specific item, right? Income is pretty straightforward. Do you have enough to cover your lifestyle, and will it last as long as you do? Basically, where's your paycheck coming from once you stop working? When it comes to medical, it's more than just the medical insurance. It's more of, how do I pay for medical needs, whether it's medication, doctor's visits, or something catastrophic like rehab or long-term care, right? Where does that fit into? And then taxes, pretty straightforward. How do we reduce how much you're paying in taxes? Because if you're drawing $100 a month out, we'd rather make sure you can spend $80 of it and not only $60. And then legacy is, what happens to your money when you're no longer here? How do you pass it to the next generation, whether it's your spouse or kids or someone else? Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that your plan is self-completing so that when you're done, someone else gets to spend the money for you. Because if you don't spend it while you're alive, someone else is going to, and preferably it should be your family and not the state or the government.
And, you know, with all of those things to take into consideration, if somebody's trying to do this on their own, there's things that can slip through the cracks. That's why it's important to talk to a professional who can make sure that you're not missing anything.
That's exactly it. If you're in that 2 to 5 year window and you're trying to figure out how to retire, or do I have all the right pieces in place, or you're just trying to figure out, am I making a mistake, or have I got everything covered? Reach out to a financial professional. If you're already working with one and you don't like what the information is that they're giving you, or you haven't worked with one, reach out to the Retirement Factory. The easiest way to reach out to us is through phone number 401-727-2727, or go to the website at EuclidFS, that's EUCLID, F as in financial, S as in services.com. We'll give you plenty of information there. You can schedule your appointment right on the website, and let us just give you a quick analysis to say, are you on track or not?
And when people come into the office, they sit down, they talk with you. Do you find that people have, you know, misconceptions or maybe not complete pictures of what retirement is?
Generally, it's more the last, right? It's not so much a misconception, because they all have an idea of what they're going to do in retirement, right? I have plenty of projects around the house that I need to get done. I've been neglecting the house for the last 20 years, or we're going to definitely travel, or we're going to spend 6 months in Florida, or I'm going to spend more time with the grandkids. They have very good ideas of what they want to do. The disconnect is usually the idea of that every day in retirement is going to be the same, and it's just different. The hardest transition most people have is from the moment they decide they're going to retire to actually becoming retired. There are different stages to retirement. It's not flip over my boss's desk and now it's 30 years of unemployment. It's different stages. And the very first one can be as long or as short as you'd like. We call it retirement vacation. it's that first moment where you decide, okay, I'm done, I've retired, you've blown out the sheet cake, you've taken the gold watch, and now you're home, and it's been 2 weeks in, and the only training you have for retirement is going on vacation. And so you're expecting someone to hand you a drink by the pool, that there's supposed to be sunshine and a beach wherever you go. But you kind of get to this point where you're having your cup of coffee and you're going, well, now what?
Right.
Did I do the right thing? Did I retire too early? Maybe I should get a part-time job. I'm not ready for this. And now you get this voice in the back of your head screaming at you that, oh my God, what's going on? That's generally where I tell most people, grab another cup of coffee, tell the voice in the back of your head, thank you, I appreciate your input, but it's not helpful right now. And then remember, you're retired. Figure out what's for lunch and then go tackle the day. And then you're eventually going to create a routine, and that's where you go into your go-go years. This is where you're knocking out your bucket list. You're on the go all the time. You're, you know, traveling in a van, seeing Lynyrd Skynyrd and live, whatever it is that you wanted to get done. But this is also where your other friends who are retired have said something absolutely maddening while you were working. I'm busier now than when I was working. I don't know how I got anything done. And you kind of laugh, but the go-go years are you're saying yes to everything because you don't want to miss out. You don't want to go, I really should have done something. You're saying yes, and so there's going to be some things that you really enjoy, and then there's going to be other things you're going to look at your spouse or your friends, you're going to go, why did we say yes to this? We're never doing this again. And then eventually you'll move into what you call your slow-go years. And it's not medical. It just means you're comfortable being retired. You know where your money's coming from. You've knocked out the first two or three pillars of your plan, and now you're kind of looking at things going, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to enjoy the things I want to enjoy and I'm going to say no to the things I don't want to do. So you're okay saying no. You're not going to go to every single travel basketball game for your grandson. You're not going to go to every dance recital practice. You're going to be okay not being the Uber driver and letting your kids be upset that you won't spend your entire retirement babysitting. Those are the kind of things that come up. And then your last stage is your no-go years. And this is generally medical. But it's not nursing home or wheelchair. It's more of, it takes a little longer to get up, and so I want to be comfortable. And so this is the idea of how do I spend my money to make sure that I can get picked up for Thanksgiving and not host, that someone maybe comes in and does some light housekeeping or light food prep, something along those lines. And then eventually it is end of life after that, but we can skip that portion for today. And so at the end of the day, if you have a good idea of each one of those stages and at least know what the first two are going to look like for you, it's a much easier transition going into retirement, because figuring out whether or not you have enough money, that's probably 10% of the job. The other 90% is figuring out how to be a good retiree and how to enjoy it.
And you said something to me when we first started doing these Money Mondays that I had never thought about. But, you know, the way that people are, the advances in medicine and the way that people are going these days, you could spend just as much of your adult life not working as you did working.
It's insane. We look at the average life expectancies. We look at what's going on. But 50% of us are going to make it to age 83. And then the other 80%, we're going to fall somewhere before or after that. And 1 in 5,000 Americans will make it to age 100. That is the highest growing age bracket in the U.S. right now. So you may think you might only make it till 70 or 75, but modern medicine, water, and green veggies might have a different plan for you.
And so that's why it's especially important to, because, you know, obviously you want to be able to enjoy life as much as you can. You could live to 100 years old and live very frugally, but you're not going to enjoy those years. You can help them come up with a plan where they can actually enjoy it and have the life that they want to have.
Exactly. And I think what you're kind of touching on is the idea that we don't know how many good years we're going to get on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to focus on and what we try to focus on as a company is what are you going to do that's fulfilling for you in retirement? And that's why having a good understanding of the different stages of retirement, your go-go, your slow-go, and your no-go years, helps you define what you're going to do in the beginning of your retirement to have that fulfillment, have that legacy, have that enjoyment of life. And then the rest of the stages are more to focus on comfort and spending time with family and just understanding that you've done the right thing and now you're going to share whatever experience you have with those behind you.
And I would also think that people who are coming into the office and talking to you about these plans, you know, there's some feeling of mortality to this, and you know, you're showing them, but these last years are going to be the best years, and also it's not nearly as quick as you think it's going to be either.
A little bit to that, yes to all of the above. I think it's the there's always this anxiety and excitement and a little bit of fear that is always in the conference room. And there's something amazing about watching them come in through the front door and then have the conversation with Louise or Sherry, whoever's at the front desk, and just kind of watching them go from being nervous and anxious when they first walk in the door to, by the end of our conversation, just being a little bit more relaxed and a little more excited, because there's actually some answers. There's a clear process. There's a step-by-step instruction of, this is where you are right now. This is the place you told me you want to get to. These are the five steps we're going to take to get there. And we go through every one of those steps with every client, and then just kind of watching the transformation. Because I agree with you, there is that moment where you kind of realize there's a little bit of mortality, but there's that excitement of knowing you still have a good amount of time from the time you retire to when that day happens to knock out all the things that are important to you.
I would think once you have that plan in place, it just becomes a countdown to get to that point. That's when the fun starts, you know?
That's actually probably my most favorite part, is when clients are coming in after they've done the planning process and we're kind of getting them ready to gear up. And on the front of their phone, I swear, almost every one of them has this retirement countdown timer where it's got the day, the months, the time, the minutes. I mean, I've got people going down to the second to when they're walking out the door. And I think that's fun for me, just because you get to see someone be excited about what they've built, what they've put together, and we get to be a part of that journey.
And just really quickly, the other thing about the anxiety is I'm sure a lot of people come into it, they're nervous because they're thinking, well, I've probably been doing this wrong, or I haven't done enough. And when I go in there, you know, I'm going to get chastised for not making a plan. And that's not what you're there for.
No. So one of the things that we do here at Euclid Financial and the Retirement Factory, we do not judge you as a person. What we're looking at is, where are you? What have you done so far? And then let us catch up to how you look at your money. Because at the end of the day, it's not about right or wrong. It's about, will it work, right? It's not right or wrong. It's, will it work? And so when someone comes in and they go, am I doing the right thing? I generally will ask back, or most of the advisors will ask back, are you asking us to make sure that your plan will work the way it is? And if it won't, how to adjust it? Because it's not about, is it right or wrong? It's about, will it work? And so when you start to look at your retirement, ask yourself, will it work? Rather than, is it wrong? Because at the end of the day, there's more than one way to retire. Now, it may not be the retirement you want, but that's where the planning and that's where talking with a professional comes in.
And as I'm sure you've dealt with many times over the years, they have one idea of what retirement's going to be, and then when they get there, it's something totally different. Like, I can't find ways to fill my time. I have to go get a job just for something to do.
That does happen. I have found that at the end of the day, the planning is what is valuable. Right, the plan itself, it may not work exactly how we planned it, but as long as we've had the conversations of, hey, these are the things that are available to you, this is what could happen, this is how we can adjust for your income. If the market goes down, we have safe money to pull from. If the market goes up, we pull from the more aggressive pieces because they're making money. Right, those are the fundamentals. But at the end of the day, once you get into retirement, It's kind of like a contact sport. So your first time playing football and you get tackled, you realize, oh, this might hurt if I'm not ready. And that's the idea. If you're not ready for retirement, it can be painful. But if you go through the steps and you take the time to kind of think through what you want and what you want it to look like, it doesn't matter how many times the world gets in the way, you'll still enjoy it.
So what you're saying is you're the shoulder pads and the helmet for retirement.
For this example, I'll take it. But I'd rather be more of the coach. But either way,
there you go.
I'll take it.
So if people want to start having these conversations, how can they reach out?
Yeah, the best way to reach out to us is call the office at 401-727-2727 or go to the website at euclidfs.com. That's EUCLID, F as in financial, S as in services.com. You can book your appointment online. You can call the office. You can text the office. and someone will talk with you. And if nothing else, make sure you tune in on the weekend to listen to The Retirement Factory.
Absolutely. Saturdays and Sundays here on WBSM. Well, Manny, thank you for joining us. Always great talking with you. Always makes me think that eventually I can't wait to give all this up.
Tim, don't be in too much of a rush. I need someone to hang out with.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news. Stick around. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Tim Meisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
A deadly shooting in Brooklyn, changes coming to Southwest Airlines, and no end to the government shutdown in sight.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The NYPD has a person of interest in custody into the shooting death of a 24-year-old man.
Cops responding to a 911 call shortly after 2 a.m. found the victim inside the lobby of an apartment building on Dorchester Road in the Flatbush section of Brooklyn. He'd been shot in the torso. He was taken to Kings County Hospital, where he later died. The Daily News reports the shooting happened just a block from where a man's dismembered body was found in a trash bin Friday morning. The two incidents are not believed to be related. I'm Larry Kofsky.
President Trump is warning Colombia to immediately stop production of illegal drugs. In a post on social media yesterday, Trump called Colombian President Gustavo Petro an illegal drug dealer who strongly encourages the massive production of drugs. Trump went on to say if Petro doesn't take immediate action to halt it, the U.S. will do it for him, and added it won't be done nicely. The president also noted that as of yesterday, the U.S. will no longer make any large-scale payments or subsidies to Colombia, calling it a ripoff of America. The government shutdown is now the third largest funding lapse in modern history. It's topped only by the shutdowns of 1995 and 2018 into 2019. The federal shutdown is now on day 20 with no clear end in sight. The House has been out of session since September 19th, and lawmakers will not be returning today. Multiple people wounded in a shooting on the Oklahoma State University campus in Stillwater, Oklahoma, yesterday. One of the victims, believed to be a student, police say it happened around 3:40 a.m. after people attending a large off-campus party returned to a residential hall. All victims are being treated at hospital in Oklahoma City and Tulsa. Police say the suspect is no longer on campus. Southwest Airlines says it's going to start assigning its seats. Southwest has used open seating for 50 years, but says it will move to assigned seating starting on January 27th. The airline's website announced the change, along with a completely new boarding system. Travelers, including frequent flyers and credit card holders with boarding benefits, and those who purchase extra legroom, will automatically be assigned to early boarding groups. The rare corpse flower is expected to bloom at New York's Botanical Garden just in time for Halloween.
It's a rare flower known for its putrid smell, and believe it or not, hundreds of people turn out to see it and savor it every time it blooms in the Bronx. That's just once every 3 to 5 years after it first opens up, which the NYBG says can take a decade. If you're into malodorous floral treats that can grow up to 9 feet tall, you can watch the corpse flower bloom via live stream and then catch it in person at the New York Botanical Garden at Halloween time. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A new study from the Pew Research Center suggests divorced Americans won't stay single for long.
The research, titled 8 Facts About Divorce in the U.S., says 2/3 of divorced Americans marry again. Pew found that men and women are remarrying at a similar rate, but divorced men are slightly more likely to remarry than women. The analysis also found a caveat that widows are less likely to remarry than women who have been divorced. The data shows nearly 2 million Americans got divorced in 2023. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A new study from tech company Intuit says Gen Z is mixing their financial anxiety with their dating habits. The study, titled The Cuffing Economy, found that nearly 1 in 3 Gen Z singles are going on dates just for the free meal. Research shows that the trend isn't new, with researchers dubbing such dates as foodie calls in 2019. Meanwhile, the report found that over half of Gen Z daters say they cut back on dating because of financial pressure, the highest of any generation. The top 2026 travel destination is in the U.S. According to a worldwide study by Expedia, Montana tops the list. The report ranks the top 10 destinations based on flight accommodations, searches from Expedia, and 24,000 global travelers over the last year. Other destination hotspots include Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Savoy, France, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and Hobart, Australia.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John Seed Law.
Mike Vrabel faced the Titans for the first time since his firing. Patriots beat Tennessee 31-13 yesterday, extending their win streak to 4 games. Bruins lost to the Mammoth last night in Utah 3-2. Bees return to the ice tomorrow at 7:30, hosting the Panthers.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A wet start to our week. Rain for today, low to mid-60s, upper 40s tonight as we start to clear out. Mainly sunny tomorrow, 61. Light rain for Wednesday, mid-60s and clouds. And sun on Thursday, near 60. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Hang on there. There we go. Okay. I just had to make sure that I didn't fire off that little bit of static noise that we have for the music. All right. Now we're ready to go. Let's talk a little pop culture.
The Gen X Files.
All right. Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Wanda Jackson, known as the Queen of Rockabilly, is celebrating her 88th birthday today. Film director Danny Boyle is 69. Viggo Mortensen of the Lord of the Rings films turns 67. Former Vice President of the United States Kamala Harris is 61. Karate Kid and Cobra Kai star William Zabka is 60. Rapper Snoop Dogg turns 54. And actor and part-time Fairhaven resident John Krasinski is 46. So happy birthday, John, if you're listening. On this date in 1973, The $6 Million Man debuted on ABC. And if that was to debut today, that $6 million would not go very far. He'd be very much less bionic. On October 20th, 1977, Southern Rockers Lynyrd Skynyrd boarded a chartered plane after playing a concert at Greenville Memorial Auditorium. The band was headed to Baton Rouge for a concert the following night, but the plane ran out of fuel and the pilots attempted an emergency landing that tragically failed. Lead vocalist Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines were killed in the crash, as were backing singer Cassie Gaines, who was Steve's older sister, and the band's assistant road manager, Dean Kilpatrick. The accident took place just 3 days after the release of the group's fifth studio album, Street Survivors. On October 20th, 1978, the Police made their U.S. debut at CBGB in New York. The trio had flown on low-cost tickets with Laker AirTrain from the U.K., carrying their instruments on as hand luggage. The Eagles started a 9-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with The Long Run, the band's fourth U.S. number one. This was the first Eagles album to feature bassist Timothy B. Schmidt, who had replaced founding member Randy Meisner. 3 singles were released from the album, Heartache Tonight, The Long Run, and I Can't Tell You Why. Heartache Tonight reached number one on the singles chart and won a Grammy Award. In 1981, 2 police officers and a Brinks armored car guard were killed during an armed $1.6 million robbery in Rockland County, New York, carried out by members of the Black Liberation Army and Weather Underground. I don't have a home. On this date in 1990, James Ingram hit number one on the charts with I Don't Have the Heart. It remained at the top of the charts for just 1 week. October 20th, 1991, Microsoft Windows 3.0 with multimedia extensions was released. Well, you could watch a video on a computer. Wow! In 1988, Richard Pryor received the first Kennedy Center Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. And on October 20th, 2006, George Michael openly smoked a cannabis joint during an interview on a TV show. The singer was filmed backstage in Madrid, Spain, where the drug was legal. George Michael said, "It's the only drug I've ever thought worth taking. This stuff keeps me sane and happy, but it's not very healthy." That's the Gen X Files for October 20th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can still get that Pumpkin Bliss French toast. And I've been hearing great things about it. I wanted to get over there this weekend to have it, but I unfortunately, by the time I woke up each morning, I slept in just a little bit too much and didn't get a chance to get over there. But maybe this week. Hopefully they keep it on the special menu as we are now in pumpkin season. 508-996-0500. That is my number here. App chat and open line voicemails available to you on the WBSM app if you would like to call in and chime in on any of those things. So we're still waiting for more information from the DA's office on a number of incidents that happened over the weekend. We can talk about the No Kings protest if you want to talk about that, 508-996-0500. But I'm very concerned about the story regarding the two skeletal remains of two people that were found in the Freetown State Forest, because there's a lot of questions. What happened? They said that there was a suicide note found, but that one person was found inside the vehicle, one person was found outside the vehicle. Was the suicide note for both of these individuals? What was the, you know, not that we need to get into all of the details, but what was the methodology here? And why did it take a hunter finding them in the woods now to the point where they were already skeletal? Because you would, I don't know when hunting season starts, but if it just began, then, you know, maybe that's why nobody found it. Nobody was going through that area until hunting season began. But just a lot of questions. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, normally they don't give you that kind of information right away. They don't tell you there was a suicide note found. But I do think that the Bristol County DA's office is saying, well, listen, we're aware that all of these bodies that have been found only continue to speculate. People continue to speculate online about the idea that there is a serial killer at large. And the law enforcement has not found any proof of that. They've not found anything that leads them to believe that. They've certainly not said that publicly, even if it is something that they believe. So I think they wanted to put that information out early in the process so that people don't speculate. The same thing happened with the two individuals that were found on the same property where Kylie Montero's body was buried. They pointed out early on in that process that those folks had had a history of drug abuse, so that people would think, oh, maybe it was an overdose before they would start talking about serial killer, because this is becoming, it's becoming a problem for law enforcement because they're finding it hard to get answers and to get the public to come forward with information when they just want to speculate these online theories, because you've got all of these armchair detectives, these web sleuths, as they call them, who want to think that it's all connected. And the worst thing is that these individuals were found on Saturday morning, just days after the Bridgewater Triangle episode aired of Expedition X. And so now people are trying to tie the two things together. It's like these were skeletal remains. These people had been out there for a while. But again, they were taken to the medical, the Office of the State Medical Examiner, who will conduct all the testing, perform the autopsies on what they were able to find and try to make a determination as to what happened. But right now, we don't have that information. We don't have any identities, those that have not yet been released. All that we know is at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But as soon as we know more, we will let you know it. All right, we've got to take a break here. As we are going into the break, I will remind you, we were talking with, you know, Manny earlier about retirement and your money. And, you know, one of the things that you can do to help with your retirement now is invest in a way that's going to make you save money in the future. And that could be going solar. If you put solar panels on your home or on your property somewhere, you hear us say all the time, eventually the electric company is going to pay you. Is that true? Well, Isaacson Solar can answer it. They can tell you whether it's true or not and how it all works. But you've got to reach out to them because they're not going to come and knock on your door like other companies. They're not putting the hard sell on you. They only want you to reach out when you are ready to talk about going solar. And you can do that by going to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. And then set up an appointment for them to come out, look around your home and property, talk to you about all the different options you have for solar panels. And then if it's a good fit, you can go back to your family and talk to them and decide before you sign up for anything. So again, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Let me get my next break in here. We'll be right back.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
Makes me feel like I could run through a wall. I love that song, Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. 508-996-0500. Before we get to that call, I just want to tell you that plumbing emergencies don't wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, they treat every call like it's their own home. Their family-owned business has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands of families with over 700 five-star reviews. They believe customer service is a lost art, and they are trying to keep it alive. Bass Ready Rooter, they may not be your first call, but they'll always be your last. Visit BassReady.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y, BassReady.com today. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, but my throat seems to be cracking. Anyway, I was on the internet last night looking up all kinds of stuff, and something popped into my feed. I don't know why. Maybe they know how sick I am in the head. But anyway, it popped in. Now, I know you know a lot about music, so I was going to tell you this. Have you heard of it? Oh, you must have. Have you heard of a band called, see, what's that paper? I wrote it down. Oh, the Boomtown Rats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Bob Geldof's group.
Oh, I don't even know who they are. I don't know. But after I hang up, I hope you play a song. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. They wrote a song. They said, well, I don't know if they wrote it. They made a song, and I'll tell you the name of the song. And one day in 1979, so these guys are still in business?
No, they broke up a long time ago. Bob Geldof's still around, but the band isn't around anymore.
I figured that. But in 1979, on a cold January day, this girl, 16 years old. Now, if I tell you her name, I know while I'm talking, you're going to be looking it up. Don't look
no,
it up.
No, I'm familiar with the story.
You are?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she went to school, and she brought a gun, and she shot things up. And when they said, why did you do it? She said, I don't like Mondays.
Yeah, I hate Mondays. And she said, this will liven things up.
And so that's the song that they made.
And then What year did they? Okay, so that happened in 79. So when did those guys make that song? Were they all guys? I don't know.
Yeah, not long after that. I think it was either 79 or 80 that they came out with that song.
Oh, so it was pretty much during that time then. Okay. Wow. She went to jail for 25 years, and I don't know. I don't feel like I have an appointment in a little while, so I'm going to look it up. How did she spend the whole 25 in jail? Did she live or die, or she can't be that old?
So the song, I just looked it up. The song was released in 1979. It came out in July of 1979 in the UK and October of 1979 in the US.
Well, that was fast because she did the shooting in 79.
Yeah. So looking here, Brenda Ann Spencer. She did that in January of 1979.
Yeah. Have you ever heard it?
The song?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of the song. I played it many times here on the show. I'll play it again.
Really? Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to get something out of you with the story. When it popped up, I said, wow, you know, Boomtown Rats, I never heard of them. Any other famous song by them?
I think that's really the only one that I know by them.
One hit wonder, then.
Well, so Bob Geldof went on to create the song, Do They Know It's Christmas, the Band-Aid song, you know? Oh, Do They Know It's Christmas? And then he went on to create Live Aid from there, so... He's the man behind all of that, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's good. So I'm going to see if there's a documentary on them. I doubt it if they weren't really, are they big time or anything? I mean.
So I don't know if there's a documentary on them, but if you watch, so CNN put out over the summer, because it was the 40th anniversary of Live Aid, they had a documentary on Live Aid that you can probably find online, and that was, you know, that had a lot of the history of the Boomtown Rats in some of the early episodes.
Mm. Now, when they showed that, on my feed, they showed her. She had a skirt on. She was handcuffed and chains around her waist. And right behind her, there's a young guy that's also shackled. So she had somebody with her there, and I wonder what his spot was. And I'm going to have to go look at the whole thing and find out. You know, I know why she did it now, but I want to know who he was. Maybe her young boyfriend or something. Thin and young, 16 years old. What possesses people? I don't know. Maybe they were into the drugs back then. 1979. I'm trying to think of what I was doing and everything else.
Well, I'll tell you what I know you weren't doing. You weren't listening to the Boomtown Rats because you didn't know the song already.
No, I never. Maybe I have heard it, but I was.
I bet you when I play it, you'll say, oh, yeah, that does sound familiar.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'll be listening.
All right. Well, I'll play it when I come back from this break.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Have a good day. And I do got to take this break. Before I do, though, I want to remind everybody out there, especially the men out there, that if you are not feeling yourself, the Ultimate Men's Clinic in New Bedford can help you. The Ultimate Men's Clinic is where you should be going if there are things that you can't talk about with your significant other, with your family, or with your primary care physician. You know what I'm talking about. The kinds of problems that only men have, well, that's what they deal with at the Ultimate Men's Clinic. So check them out by going to theultimatemensclinic.com or give them a call, 508-505-9100, and they can talk to you in a simple, direct way and will get rid of any of the embarrassment that you may be feeling. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. They're here to make you feel like your best self. So don't waste any time. Reach out to them now, The Ultimate Men's Clinic in New Bedford, theultimatemensclinic.com, and also largernewbedford.com, or 508-505-9100. Let me get this last break in, and we will be right back.
Do you need to be sure?